Welcome to Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org. Here's the latest recording from our current teaching series, Rebirth.
God, once again this morning, we've gathered together with people who are seeking truth, with people who long to be a community, with people who are praying and searching for wisdom. We pray, God, that time spent in the Scriptures, time spent talking and thinking and listening, time spent rolling around these ideas together would help us grow in wisdom. They would help us grow in our love of truth, that they would help us to know you and to find ourselves in a place where we are more satisfied with our lives and that you are glorified. We want to honor you. We want to know you. We want to be true. Help us right now to have receptive hearts and focused minds. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, we have today we're going to finish up our teaching series, Rebirth. And each week we've been talking about different aspects about what has to be in place before something good can happen to lead us to a deeper understanding of the gospel. We've talked about, we kind of use this acronym through the whole series. We've talked about how the B in birth. We've talked about how important it is to belong, to have a sense of belonging. And so that we want to really make sure people have a sense of belonging before we start badgering them about beliefs. That we want to have a sense where we're identifying with one another before we try to influence and push each other. Influencing and pushing is good, but I want to know that you identify with me and you understand with me before you try pushing me or prompting me or challenging me. Relationships always come before religion. Trusting always comes before truth. Touching my heart is important if you want to get my head. Experience is so valuable that we should let, we ourselves should experience, and we should invite other people into experience before we start explaining it all. Because the truth is, some of our experience is bigger than our words. So we want to have experience before we try to explain it. I'd rather have somebody have a full experience instead of a kind of minimizing explanation. And today I want to talk about how important it is to dream before we ask ourselves or anybody else to make a decision. We're going to look at a few stories from the Scriptures today. And just kind of think our way through this. It's not going to be so much a propositional sermon, point, 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 point. I've tried to disguise a long meandering into something that looks like it's organized, but it's organized, but it's not really point, point, point. It kind of looks like it in the PowerPoint, but what we're going to do is just kind of take a walk together and look at some people who dreamed and how that dream is important before they ever made a decision to act. And then we're going to challenge ourselves to think about what we need to dream and then how we might be able to stir up dreaming in others. Very, very basic, very simple. Many of you have probably heard a verse that sounds something like this. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, being confident in what is not yet seen. Comes from Hebrews chapter 11. Some of you older folks may have heard faith is the substance of things hoped for. People like me, I actually got out my old Bible from when I was in just out of college and a young adult, and I looked at it and says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And lots of times we talk about faith and what we believe and what we what we're convinced of. But I really think we need to zoom in on those two words. Faith is the assurance or the substance or being sure of what we, what? Hope for. Hope is a pretty important word when it comes to Christianity. A lot of the Christian life is hoping. In fact, even if we could go all day on this, but you can, the word hope is just woven through. Hope is why we persevere. Hope is how we approach living a life that transforms. We have hope in that. Even the idea of Christ's return and ultimate victory of reconciling all things to himself, that is even in the scriptures referred to as the blessed hope. Christianity is all about hope. And I was just like, hope is maybe one of those words that we could put some other words beside it to maybe expand the way we're thinking about it today. How about imagine? If you're going to hope, you have to have some imagination. You have to be able to look ahead at something that you can't really see, can't really prove, and say, I can imagine that. I hope for that. Or maybe another word might be to dream. A dream, sometimes that word dream is used as almost a hopeful imagination. I look ahead, I think of what could be. I hope for it. Christianity is all wrapped up in hope. We've looked at John chapter 3 time and time again in this series, and we've noticed a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was not unfamiliar with the Old Testament scriptures. Nicodemus was not unfamiliar with messianic promises that the nation of Israel was all wrapped up in. Nicodemus was not unfamiliar with feeling oppressed and boxed in by the Roman Empire. Nicodemus had all kinds of things that put him in a place where to live and to look ahead required some sort of hope, some sort of imagination, some kind of a dream. And so I can't help, as I read John 3, to not just see what Jesus exactly says or see what Nicodemus exactly asks, but before there's any asking, before there's any answer, before there's any conversation, I see this man, Nicodemus, gathering himself together to find Jesus. To go to Jesus. And before he ever gets there, do you know what I'm thinking? What is he hoping for? What is it that he imagined he would see? This is something that we see all through the Gospels. You know, so many times we get into the conversation or the events and we analyze them, but we don't think about what led up to the event. Somebody had to have a dream. Somebody had to hope for something. Something had to be prodding them hopefully along before they ever come to Jesus. For instance, this one I just love. This is a story that we've heard many times, and sometimes we talk about the power of Jesus or the faith of the woman, but I want to go back a little bit before that. Notice in Mark chapter 5, it says this is about a woman who came to Jesus and she was healed when she touched him. She touched him. And I want you to notice the text here and see if you can see some imagination and hope in this text. So Jesus, this is Mark's a fast-moving storyline. In fact, it's so fast that it's hard to know how to jump into the middle of the story because one story starts at the end of another story. Here's an example of that. One of the synagogue leaders, Mark tells us, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at Jesus' feet and he pleaded earnestly with Jesus. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. See, even there, we could stop right here. Jairus is acting in hope, isn't he? He's come with a request. And before we ever get to the request, before Jesus ever does anything, Jairus is a person imagining life could be different if he could just get to Jesus. And so it says that Jesus went with Jairus, and a large crowd followed and pressed around him. And here we are, we're still in the middle of one story, and Mark takes us into a new one. It says a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. You might think, why is that detail in the text? It's in the text because it says a lot. This kind of ailment, she would have been unclean, and she would have been, she probably shouldn't have been in a crowd. She was violating some custom and tradition and Levitical law by doing this, okay? She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, and she had spent all she had, and yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. You see the backstory here? Before this woman ever encounters Jesus, we have a woman who is desperate. We have a woman who has tried everything. And yet it just, her life gets worse and worse. And verse 27, it says, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind Jesus in the crowd and she touched his cloak. And this is the part I just love. Why? Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And before you ever get to the I will be healed, or before you get to what Jesus does, in fact, I'm not even going to go on with the story much further. I just want you to notice what she was thinking. I'm so glad it's in the text here. She thought, if I can just touch him. Sometimes I read that text and I wonder, what if she had thought, if I could just see him? Or if I could just say his name. I don't know. I mean, in the scriptures, there's all kinds of stories of people being healed and they never even got near to Jesus. I'm not so interested in the mechanics of it or what's required. What I'm interested for this morning is, look at what the woman is thinking. What drove her into the crowd? What drove her to take the risk of being someone unclean by the law and yet having the, pardon the word, the chutzpah, to go into a crowd and to actually reach out and touch a rabbi? It's what she was thinking that did that. She was just thinking, I think my life could be different. I think that an encounter with Jesus could change things. I hope it will. Imagine how it could be different if I could touch him. I have a dream that this man is who he says he is, and it might change everything for me. Well, let's go to another place in the Bible. I like this story a lot too. It's another narrative. As Jesus was coming into Jericho, and as he and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Mark gives us his name, a blind man named Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. That's what blind men did in the first century. They were outcasts. They had no prospects. They were at the mercy of compassionate people who would give to them. But this man named Bartimaeus, it says that there he was sitting along the road. And I imagine as you sat along this road, if you read the Gospels, this road gets traveled by Jesus and his disciples more than once. And certainly it got traveled by a lot of people who had heard of Jesus or encountered Jesus. I'm imagining that you could be sitting just along this road here, and it wouldn't be hard to hear a story about Jesus. And it might get you thinking. It might get you thinking, I wonder how my life could be different If I could get to Jesus somehow. That's kind of hard to do when you're a blind man on the side of the road. And so one day, it says, there they were in the roadside, and here comes Jesus right along the road where he is. It says, when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming down that road, he began to shout. Now that's cool. You know, there's a crowd. He's not going to let anybody walk by. He's shouting, Jesus! Jesus of Nazareth! Many rebuked him. He's yelling, Jesus, Son of David! And there's a little messianic hope right there. This guy might be the Messiah. I wonder, just imagine if this Jesus actually is the Son of David prophesied. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd does what the crowd always does. Shh. Stop it. And I just love this so much. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more. You know why? Because when you have an imagination, when you think, this is the moment, it could change today. You don't care what the crowd says. You shout. Now, we aren't even going to go into the story. But we don't have the story of Bartimaeus being healed until we recognize we have a story of Bartimaeus dreaming and hoping and imagining. Let's look at somebody else here. It says in the 19th chapter of Luke, it says that Jesus entered, what's the place again? There he is on that road again. Entered Jericho, and he was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. This guy, Zacchaeus, had heard about Jesus too. And Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. But look at verse 3. He wanted to see who Jesus was. And so he just thought, he dreamed, he imagined. He said, if I could just see him. And says, but he was short and he could not see over the crowd. I remember when I was back in New Testament gospel classes studying, my teacher in that class pointed out that the text is ambiguous. We're not sure who the he is in that verse. We're not sure if Zacchaeus is short. Now, that's what they taught me in Sunday school. But my New Testament theology professor pointed out it might have been he couldn't see Jesus because he was short in stature. Here's this big crowd and a little Jesus walking through the crowd, maybe. Well, you know, it says in Isaiah, the prophecy was there was nothing about him that we should be drawn to him. And short in stature was definitely not a drawing card for being a hero in Israel. So Zacchaeus, whether it's him that's short or Jesus that's short, we don't know, but we know that Zacchaeus was willing. Did you notice he's wealthy? He's a person of means. He probably was wearing a nice suit. He probably had nice designer glasses on. He was probably somebody that you would notice sitting in a tree. You know what I mean? There's some people, you see him in a tree, and you go, that makes sense. But every once in a while, you see a guy in a designer suit sitting in a tree, and you go, what's the story? What's going on there? This isn't just some junior high kid with a pea shooter. This is a wealthy man in town, and there he is in the tree. What's going on? What's going on, my friends, is a man with an imagination. A man who, even though he has wealth, does not have peace and does not have a sense of purpose and joy in his life. But he was thinking it could change if he could just see who Jesus was. So he ran ahead, he climbs the tree, and since Jesus was coming, he climbed up high enough to see. And then verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, Jesus looked up. And he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down right now, because I'm going to your house. That might have been more than Zacchaeus had even imagined. He thought, if I could just see him. Jesus came and said, see me, let's go to your house. That whole encounter, and we could read the whole story of what happens with Zacchaeus and what Jesus says and how people are shocked when Jesus pronounces forgiveness and calls Zacchaeus a son of Abraham and says salvation has come to the house this day. But you don't get salvation coming to that house until you have a guy with a dream that makes him climb a tree. Dreaming always comes before the big stuff. Hoping comes before the reality. Imagining comes before the real. And what about you and me? How's your imagination? How's your hope? Mine's doing pretty good. Some of you helped me with that. Some of you this morning have reinforced my sense of hope and have stirred my imagination already. I come and I get together with you guys and I think maybe life could be different. Maybe there is something more than what I've got right now. Maybe Jesus isn't done with me. In Ephesians chapter 3, some verses we've looked at many times, we spent a whole sermon series basically looking at these verses. Paul is speaking to the Ephesians and he just breaks out in this song of praise at the end of the third chapter, and he says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now that's a beautiful little song. It's a beautiful prayer, packed with theological import. And we might say, yes, we should pray. Yes, we should praise. But I want to look at this and I want you to see how he describes God. God is the one who can do immeasurably more than you what? Ask or imagine. Brothers and sisters, I say it's time to get your dreams rolling. It's time to be people of hope. It's time to start stirring your imagination. Because if God is able to do more than I imagine or ask for, I take that as a challenge. I will dream bigger. I will ask more. Who said this? Some, you have not because you ask not. Somewhere, in some book somewhere says that. You know, there are so many things in our lives that we haven't imagined. And I'm not just talking about others, I'm talking about you and me. Okay, you believe in Jesus, good. You're experiencing some measure of peace, good. You feel like you're finding a path that's true. Good. That's just setting the stage for dreaming and hoping. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on peace. Don't give up on that adult child. Don't give up. Ask. Imagine. Every time something in the scriptures big happens, it didn't start with a big happening. It started with somebody with hope climbing a tree. Somebody with hope and a dream pushing through a crowd and touching somebody she shouldn't. Somebody yelling by the side of the roadside, I will not shut up. We got to imagine, if we could just imagine, Because you know what? It takes people who are dreaming and hoping and asking and imagining, if you hope to stir up any imagination in anybody else. There are things that I have gotten into that I never would have gotten into if I hadn't seen somebody I knew get so excited about it. And they made me think, maybe I would get something out of that too. You see, we need to stir up. We need to be experiencing and imagining in our own spiritual life, in our own world. Because that's what happens before we're able to stir it up in anybody else. Another story where something big happened. Maybe Jesus was the one having the imagination in this story, because Jesus has an encounter with a man who is he's known as the Gadarene demoniac, and he calls himself Legion because he says he's taken over by a legion of demons, he says. And Jesus has his disciples pull up the boat. They get up, and sure enough, here comes this crazy man running out of the cemetery. He's got cuts all over himself, and he's spooky. And he has this big encounter with Jesus. And nobody there, it's clear, nobody there except Jesus, not his disciples, not the people in the region, nobody besides Jesus had the imagination of what could be different. But Jesus changed everything. See, even Jesus operated out of hope and imagination and dreams for something better. You don't go to Calvary if you don't have a dream of resurrection. And this man's life is changed so radically that he says, well, I want to go with you, Jesus. And it says, as Jesus was getting in the boat to leave, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him, and Jesus would not let him. But he said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. What do you think happens when a guy is demon-possessed, when a guy is basically shoved out to live his insane life in a cemetery where they raise pigs? What do you think it's like when, I'm going to give him a good old Uncle Reuben. You know, I know he's been going by Legion for a while, or known as the crazy guy out at the edge of town, but the guy had a name. And Jesus says, go home where they know your name. And tell them what happened to you. You know why? If Jesus can heal a crazy man, maybe that'll get you to dream too. You see, the way we stir up the imaginations and the hopes of others is to go home with a story of what's changed. That's what makes a Bartimaeus shout Jesus. That's what makes a woman press through a crowd. That's what makes a man climb a tree, even though it looks ridiculous. They heard something, and it sparked their imagination, and they acted. I'll just end with a little story of somebody stirring up. Show you how simple this can happen. It's a story I've told here before. But every time I think of this idea, this story, this real-life story comes to my mind. So I'm just going to share it again. I was speaking for a men's retreat in Colorado, and I was sitting by a campfire at night playing guitar, as you do on men's retreats in Colorado, out in a wilderness campsite. And I really had an enjoyable conversation with a fellow there. He was a good guitar picker. He was a good player. So we were having a lot of fun sitting there. And I said, tell me your story. You know, we're at a men's retreat, a Christian men's retreat, out in the wilderness, playing guitar, singing Christian songs, you know. But I don't know this guy's backstory. I assumed he'd probably been a Christian involved in that. He goes, I became a Christian about like a couple, maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. Whoa. Tell me about that, I said. Well, he told me his story. He told me how he had, you know, been searching and how he just decided, you know what, the only way I'm going to know if this is true is I'm just going to hope and give it a try. And he says, and I said, how's that gone? He says, it's gone really good. He says, I can't explain it any better than I could 2 years ago, but my experience says it's worth it. And then he said, you know what's really interesting is hope is kind of contagious, Dave. I said, tell me more about that. He said, well, says I was in the backyard the other day and I was talking across the fence to my neighbor's wife. And I said to her, hey, man, it's been a long time since I've seen you. I'm glad you're out here. How's it going? She said, well, it's not going too good. He said, what's wrong? She goes, well, my husband and I were probably... probably over. Probably be divorced in a couple of months. He goes, oh man, I'm sorry to hear about that. He says, I know, it's hard, it's hard. He said, my wife and I, we've had a hard time keeping it together too. It's rough. She goes, yeah. And then the guy said this, I just wish you were a Christian. You see, that's what new Christians do. They say stuff that it's just like out of the blue that strikes people like a 2x4 in the head. He said, I just wish you were a Christian. And she said, what difference would that make? Plenty of Christians get divorced. And he goes, yeah, that's true. He goes, but you know, here's the thing. Since I came to Jesus a couple of years ago, I can't explain it. But I would have to say my marriage, after I really got serious about following Jesus, my marriage is better now than it was 2 years ago. She goes, why? He goes, I don't, it's too complicated. I don't think I could explain it. He goes, I just makes me wonder. See, wonder's like hoping and dreaming. It makes me wonder if it would change something for you. And he said, now that couple comes to our church. You know why? Somebody instilled a dream, a possibility, a hope, a wonder. Before you ever start passing out answers and silver bullets, quit it. Live it and stir up some dreams. Let's pray. God, you are so much bigger than we are, and we know our asking and our imagining falls so short of what could be. Help us, oh God, to enter a life of hope. Help us to be certain of things hoped for. Help us to have an imagination, to have dreams, and to push forward in a way that helps us experience and live into something we never expected. And in so doing, help our testimony, help our lives to stir up the dreams and imaginations of others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcast and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. To do so, just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcasts and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around to find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note at podcast@valleycc.org.